The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Lotus Place on this Sunday night. It is February the 14th, 2016, and it is the day for lovers and chocolates and all of that good stuff. Loving on your loved one, your significant other, and all of that. So, ladies, I hope you got that gift. I hope you got that proposal, whatever it is that you were expecting. And you know what, I wonder how many men broke up with their girlfriend a couple of weeks ago. You know how men sometimes, I know it used to, I'm sure our great men are not doing that today. I recall when men would break up with their girlfriends before Valentine's Day or Christmas so that they wouldn't have to buy a gift. But I just know that the brothers out there who do celebrate Valentine's Day, I know that you remembered, you took your loved one out for dinner or something, a movie, a show, or maybe cook dinner for her or something like that. Because you know how women are. Women want to celebrate Valentine's Day and all that stuff. So more power to you. I think you should do something nice for your loved one whenever you feel like it. Don't need a particular day to tell you, hey, you must do this. Hey, you must buy chocolates or whatever. Take her out for dinner. That should be something that is common and just commonplace, just happens, you know? It's better that way. Don't need anybody to tell you when to celebrate somebody you love. Just do it. Just do it anyway. Isn't that right, Aj? Let me get you in, Mother Zola.
I agree yes. Wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly. Why do you need one day to say, I love you, I went to the grocery store, I saw this huge tent outside with all these flowers and teddy bears and hearts and candy and, and men stopping by grabbing stuff, you know. It's like, okay, so is this the only day that you're going to do this? Have you screwed up and then this is your way of getting back in the house?
Right. And, you know, I was in the grocery store yesterday and they had this huge tent in H-E-B, the grocery store right up the street. And, you know, they had the chocolate dipped strawberries, white chocolate and all of that, the strawberries. Uh-huh. And so I think they had a little package of like maybe six strawberries dipped in chocolate. And it was like $6.50 or something. And I picked it up and I was going to get it for you. And then I thought about it. I was like, child, please. I had already put a whole pack of fresh strawberries in the basket. And, you know, I said, why am I buying $7 chocolate strawberry that, you know, she probably, you know, don't even want, or, you know, it's just the thought of it. I mean, I could spend that money on something else.
Exactly. And I would appreciate, and I do appreciate, the plain strawberries.
The plain strawberries,
you know,
that you can make
to go with my smoothies. You know, that's showing love. That's showing love.
Right. So that's what I did. You know, so I'm not trying to deter anybody from buying those chocolate strawberries for your loved one.
I just didn't want to spend the $6.50 on the chocolate dipped strawberries just for this one day. I can make my own chocolate strawberries, so anyway.
You know what I wanted to ask though? What do people feel, particularly women, when their significant other, their partner, the person that they're dating or just started dating or what have you, if they didn't get them something for Valentine's Day, do they feel that that's a show of lack of love, a lack of attention? I mean, some people really do get upset when they don't get anything, you know, for Valentine's Day.
When I was younger, oh my God. I remember going off on this boy. He was so nice. I never should have gone off on him. I mean, I completely went on. I think, let me see, he bought me a gift, but I think it was something like we couldn't go out because of something or whatever. And, you know, I just wanted to just clown him, you know. And, I mean, I just completely went off. I mean, he bought a gift. So I should not have been going off, but I was young and dumb and caught up in the whole, you gotta buy me a gift and
commercialism of the whole thing.
Exactly. There you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The whole nine yards.
Really nice guy. And I mean, I hurt his feelings so badly.
It was
terrible. Oh God. You know, I read him his rights. It was just terrible. So, yeah. I've grown. So.
Yes, you have.
That was probably about 15 years ago or something. So, and another thing, Zola, I wonder about those guys that may have broken up with their girlfriend, like, a couple of weeks ago. I don't think they still do that. I hope not. You know, they'll start some kind of argument,
right?
So that,
right.
Especially if they're seeing multiple women. So it's eliminate somebody.
Right.
So now, how am I gonna do this?
Right.
So it's like, you know, let me make somebody mad so she can break up with me.
Right.
But see, ladies, this is how you get around with it. Just play it off, and make his tail sweat, and make him figure it out. How are you going to get both of us out? How are you going to take both of us out for a date that night on Valentine's Day? Don't put me off.
You know,
who are you going to put off? How are you going to handle it, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, when an emergency comes up or whatever, and he can't make the date for whatever reason, then you know that he's
out. You know that you are not number one.
Yeah,
you are not number one.
I know King B doesn't do that. I know King B. King B is just joining us. I know King B doesn't try to break up with people before Lover's Day so he don't have to get him a gift. You always remember that and get him a gift, don't you, King B?
Oh, totally preposterous for me. How's everybody doing?
Lovely.
Pretty
good.
I'm well.
I tell you, I was a bit shocked when I heard the news about Scalia. But my mother always said, Miss, she was in peace. She always said, you can't say anything good about the dead, don't say nothing. Antonin Scalia is dead. Good. Because that was one serious afterbirth mother. One serious afterbirth. And I suspected he had black blood in him, but I didn't want to believe how correct it was. His origin is from Palermo, y'all. Sicily.
It's from
Palermo, Sicily.
Oh, okay, Scalia. Okay.
Yeah, you know whose blood is all in their fibers? That's why they say if a northern Italian man catches a southern Italian man messing with his daughter, even if that man is in uniform, he's dead meat today. Because they're considered the niggas of Europe.
Yep.
When his man family came here and you want to find vicious racist, Scalia, Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City. This is fascist. So, you guys talking about the holiday?
Actually, King B, we were just mentioning the holiday. No, but you know, tonight is Black Salt Sunday Live. We're talking about everything on the table.
Yeah.
We have Delta here with us. Hey, Delta.
Hey, Delta. Hey, how everybody doing?
Lovely.
Doing well. Yeah, I wanted to bring up right before you got into your hot topic, Delta. Let me see. I saved this, and now I can't find it. Some of Scalia's rulings. You know, Scalia was one of the ones that said Troy Davis should die regardless of any.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw who he left it up to make the decision, right?
Yes.
Yes. Thomas.
No, well, you see,
Clyde.
Here's a young man that it hurts to my heart that there was no protest from that damn Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, NAACP. How the hell are you going to put a man to death with no physical evidence?
Yeah.
And his poor,
no physical
his poor
evidence.
Sister, his poor older sister, she was so distraught because the cancer that she was suffering from was in remission. But because of the aggravation and humiliation and degradation that she went through trying to save her brother's life, after the fair Georgia killed her brother, the cancer came back with a vengeance and took her out shortly after he was murdered by the state of Georgia. Now, I called up the Innocence Project in Georgia, in Savannah, and I said to them, they will bring Troy back, but at least let it be clear that his name is clear that he didn't commit the murder of that police officer.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
never responded, as far as ever said anything in response. They haven't heard anything. How is it possible? And see, when you have lawyers that are doing lawyering, and you have white folks who believe you a nigger, they said you did it, nigger, we gonna kill you. So if you don't have the proper defense counsel, you take all those black men that incarcerated at the first call of all places, Angola prison for, and most of those inmates are black, poor, never had decent defense counsel, and they got now a Democrat as governor. We'll see what happens. If the NAACP had any kind of spine, as well as the National Bar Association, it's been long ago taken the state of Louisiana to court. Long ago. You got that prison farm, George Slavery, it was the biggest slave plantation. Now it's the biggest prison farm. Right in Louisiana, impoverished. It's the worst state to be in if you're poor and black. One of the worst states. Next to Mississippi, Alabama, but man. When the Hurricane Katrina came by there, you know how they fucking the black folks. You know.
You know, Justice Scalia suggested that blacks belong at lower colleges.
Yeah, you remember that?
Remember when he said that?
Mm-hmm. Lower colleges?
Slower.
Yeah.
So he was
what?
Trying to call us. So, yeah, during oral arguments and a pivotal.
And take a guess what Texas
action.
Let.
Uh huh.
I'm sorry, well, I didn't cut in, but when you said that, when you said that about them lower colleges, my blood just fall. So, and he's saying they belong there, so I guess he belongs right where he at then, tonight, Dana.
Well, you know, like his racism would not even allow him to come to State of the Union address every time the president spoke. He and the damn Clarence Thomas never showed up. All the years the president would make the State of the Union address, those two clowns never showed up. And Chief Justice Roberts, who's the administrative judge, he never demanded that they must show up. You don't have to like the president, but you must respect them. And Robert
Mother
did not
Hattie always says that.
No, she does. This guy Cruz wants to be the next president. He never says President Obama. He always says Obama. His venom of hatred. You know, you gotta watch these Latinos who think they're whiter than white men. It's just so sad.
Or some of these black folks that think they're whiter than black. I'm like, what's his name? Dr. Ben used to say some of the black women, they walking around with blonde hair, blonder than a blonde. Than a white lady.
Hey, you know? I see these black women with these blonde wigs on. I'd like to ask, the batteries come included. Makes you think about the hair, lights up at nighttime.
Listen, Supreme Court Justice Scalia raised the suggestion that African American students might belong at less rigorous schools than their white peers, and that perhaps the University of Texas should have fewer black students in its ranks.
Wow.
Child, please. Anyway.
Wiggle,
please.
See Kyle. But see, Scalia is encouraged to have mentality because Clarence Thomas always tells him, you know, you sure tell her the truth. You sure tell her the truth. You sure know how to make it plain. Make it plain.
Make it plain.
I thank you for speaking my mind, sir. I can't speak for myself. So I leave it to you to speak my mind, sir.
Speak my mind. Speak it. So, Delta, you have some hot topics for us tonight?
Yes, we do. We have some great hot topics right over in Louisiana. I don't know, have y'all heard about this one, where the police was chasing this car with this black man in it, and the black man just had a warrant. Wasn't nothing major warrant. Do you not know they chased that man? And when they stopped that man's car, the man had his 6-year-old son in there, and they killed him. They killed the man's 6-year-old son, and the man is in critical condition in Louisiana. Have y'all heard that breaking news story?
They
killed his 6-year-old son.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's over in Louisiana.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why these brothers always think it's cool if there's a warrant or anything else. If you start running for it, start speeding your car away from the police.
Because they're afraid, Captain. They are so afraid.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, well, listen. Well, now look at him now. Look at him now. He's got a dead son.
He's in intensive care, and his little boy is 6 feet under.
And you see, there will be no indictment against that cop.
Be no indictment against him. You know they ain't going to make it. You know they going to let him get away.
I always say, when you change the hue, let a black cop look to a white man. The black cop knows.
Well, it's just the other thing. Can't you think about where we were talking about here a few months ago, y'all? Remember when the two black policemen was down in some part of Louisiana and they killed the white man's son? Remember they shot in the car and chased the white man, and the two black policemen automatically went to jail and had to bond. One of them bond out and the other couldn't bond out. Remember we were just talking about that case.
Mm-hmm.
They was at a nightclub. That case was at a nightclub. They was called because the man and his girlfriend was arguing. Next thing you know, they chasing the man. The man's son, they shoot in the car and they kills the man's 6-year-old white boy. They put him in jail. You know, they didn't tear with him. They put him right on in jail. Y'all remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
No hesitation at all. It's just plain old racism. It's plain old racism. It's our people still don't get it that we are hated by most white Americans. We are hated.
Okay, then let me get on with the next one. We got another one down in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
We got a deadbeat dad down in Birmingham, Alabama. The baby mother called a deadbeat father. A baby mother called the father and asked the father, she had an 8-month-old baby and told the father that she needed some money for the baby. The father told the young lady to come and get the money. The young mother was 24 years old. The young mother, someone took her over to get the money, pick the money up from her boyfriend. When she got there, another girl was there. This girl and her began to argue over the deadbeat. The other girl pulls out a gun and killed the 24-year-old mother with her 8-month-old baby sitting in the car. And it just sad that people of color, we gotta watch how we value each other's life. We do not value one another's life. Now this mother is dead. Now her mother gotta raise this 8-month-old baby and they fighting over a deadbeat. It just don't make any sense.
Did they arrest a woman who shot the mother? Was she arrested?
Yeah, the young lady, she did not run from the scene who shot the girl. They said a young girl, she was 20. She stayed on, in her 20s. They said she stayed on the scene until the police got there.
That's amazing.
So she didn't run.
That's amazing. Yeah. You see, the ingrown self-hatred has permeated down to our young people, where the sanctity of life means nothing.
Means nothing. You absolutely correct, Candy.
I mean, like, why would you want to shoot someone when it doesn't concern you about a deadbeat father who owes some kind of stipend to the mother to survive and the child to have a better survival? And a lot of these fathers that tire these children, they don't care about the consequences of not using their raincoat. The girl gets pregnant. Now, she has no means of having any kind of security for that child. Unfortunately, a lot of sisters, they fall in love with a piece of wood and don't think in terms of what if you hit the jackpot and then you get a bonus that you are not prepared to take care of. They don't think about what happens when that luck causes you to have a bonus. And this brother, he don't take in his piece of wood, it went elsewhere. No, they don't never stick it out and stick by the woman. You don't have to marry her, but at least take care of your litter. No. These guys want to be like Johnny Appleseed or a honeybee, go from flower to flower.
But this is the sad thing about it, Canty. Can't you, this the sad thing about it. A lot of the young ladies already know that he got 7 or 8 kids with 4 or 5 different women, and they want to be baby mama number 8, and don't think nothing about it. And we just valuing our life and our community so bad. And that's all I'm saying. Then we, you know, it's just sad. As a mother, you're going to pick up money for campus and stuff. And now you laying there on the ground dead.
Yes.
That is just so sad. Now we got another story coming
Delta, hold on. Please tell me this. Now somebody else that got shot, is it? Is this somebody else dead? We can't hear too many shots and dead and killed now. Come on now. But what else you have there?
This all be breaking stories, y'all. But don't we have some good breaking stories?
Yeah, I mean we want to hear the stories, but we don't want all our hot topics to be who got shot.
Okay.
And who dead.
Yeah, we need a little balance.
Well, can I throw this glass in there? And I won't say nothing else, I promise. And next time I'll break my scores up. But it was so mean of y'all this weekend. Well, y'all know we had 5 policemen to get shot this weekend.
Okay.
Three of them is deceased. Mm. And 2 is still living. Black boy, they went to the store. They said they had an armed robbery. Well, they went to the store, and the young man, when they came to the store, the young man opened fire and shot both of them. And they killed him on the scene. The 2 policemen lived, but we got 3 more policemen died this weekend. So I won't talk about that. So we had a bloody bath this weekend with policemen.
Ooh, well, what do you think caused all of that?
Valentine's Day.
Well, you know what my son said. He said, Mama. He said the young black boys is just tired. They're not gonna take it anymore. He said they made up in their mind. They gonna get them before they get them. That's the way my son put it. He said the young men are tired.
Yeah. Okay. People are tired.
Well, you know, they are rightfully feeling that way. But now here's a political problem. They have no one to fend for them. You shoot a cop. A cop now has the system on his side to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either that you got a gun and you're going to shoot at a cop. There are no witnesses. A lot of people now, we're still not taking our videos, our cell phones, taking videos. A lot of these cops now, when they get ready to do their dirt, the cameras are shut off. To take those cameras off. And, you see, look, if you know you are able to mess around and pick on or prey upon people that have no political or legal protection, that's a real turn on for men who know they hate black people. So they prey upon weak, defenseless black men who might have all this, chutzpah about how they got this woman pregnant, they got this is my bitch and all that stuff. Earthy talking, but they have no political protection or legal protection. There's not one law firm in the black community that can be truly able to deliver if you get in trouble with the police. Our black men's biggest problem is dealing with racist cops that know that they can shoot someone. And if it's a black man, chances are he's going to get over. Now, we got a DA here in Brooklyn that went after a Chinese cop who shot a young man in a stairwell at a housing project. And the police union, they didn't come across like they normally do, pack out the courtroom with the support. We're all very much going to be clear that this Chinese cop was going to be left out in the cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? I hope that was a wake up call to him and his people.
Thank you.
That when the time comes like that, they will leave you out hanging. What is it? Hanging out to dry. They'll just leave you out there cold.
And
cold blue line.
Cold blue.
They call
cold. Yeah.
I guess all that blue blood wasn't running through the
vein. As long as you're white, as long as
because that wasn't blonde hair and blue eyes, so it didn't matter.
As Paul Moore says, white complexion for the connection.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And, they left him hanging.
Yep. And he cried with it. I don't want to see no tears, but crying. Listen, if he had shown compassion. And humanity, when he realized he shot someone by accident, what was the first thing he was supposed to have done?
Call a paramedic.
And give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Keep the man breathing until the ambulance unit gets there. No, he called, they're going to fire me. Okay, I got to do something. you know,
yes,
and
he called
his
union lawyer.
Not, I don't know if you guys heard, they fired his partner the day after he was convicted. His partner, after this Chinese cop was convicted, his partner was also fired. So he gave, well, he said, the stand, my partner called the union as soon as he realized he had made a mistake. He said he was going to be fired. And he's saying on the witness stand, knowing that that's the most damaging testimony you're going to give. Because white cops don't give damaging testimony to their own fellow officers.
Right. Let's take a quick break, Kansi. We're going to pick right back up with Delta Cougar's Hot Topics and also a mind, body, and spirit. So stay tuned. Let's just take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we are back. So, Delta, come on with these hot topics. What else you have for us?
Look, now, this is a prison story, y'all.
Okay, Delta.
Well, there was this mother. Now, y'all remember this case. This was a case a while back. You remember when the stepmama and the grandmother took the 9-year-old little girl and they made her run because she ate a piece of candy, and they made her run and run and run and run and run. And this was in Atlanta.
Why did they make her run?
Because they really didn't want the child. It was the stepmother. The stepmother was very cruel to the child.
Oh.
And the grandmother went along with it, the step-grandmother. And they made her run and run and run out in the hot sun. Hmm. And she ran and ran and ran. They wouldn't let her stop. And they said a young girl asked for water. And mm-hmm. they still made her continue to run. But the young girl collapsed and died from the heat.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, huh? You remember that one?
Wow.
Yeah. All of a sudden, y'all, she don't come up dead in the jail cell.
Who, the mother?
The stepmama.
The grandmother. The step-grandmother.
Oh.
The step-grandmama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, they got to the grandmother in jail.
You know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Inmates don't like that, especially with the guards. Mm. Point out why you're in jail, and they come after you.
And then also, another.
When did that happen?
Yeah. That one happened in 2013. But she was in jail.
Couple of years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she was in jail. I remember the case is good because it was all over the news. And what happened was, you know, first they tried to lie, but then the neighbor said that the child had been being abused. And what happened was they took the child, and they said that they just mistreated the child so bad. Once they went out and talked to the neighbor, said the stepmother, for some particular reason, she just didn't like this child. And the stepmother, the step-grandmother went along with it too. And so she came up stanking in her cell this weekend.
Oh, well. Well, was she just old and she died of natural causes, or did somebody kill her?
No.
Somebody knifed her off. Icy hot.
Yeah. You know, that's basically, they saying she died of natural causes, but you know they died of no natural causes.
That's how you naturally die in the prison.
You know, they let somebody went up in that cell and took care of her. Because they have a code. They have a code. When you come in, from my understanding, I watched the show, and they said when you come in, gang leaders, and all gang leaders have a thing in prison, You must take care of rapists and child molesters and women beaters. That is a known fact in the prison. You must take care of them. So don't you
even
know
though some of them are the same up in there, huh?
Well, they normally get to the well, I'm just saying. They
ain't killing off. They ain't taking care of all child molesters, women beaters.
Yeah. But and rapists, no.
But anyway, go on.
And then have y'all seen this story? Now look, I'm calling this one off the top of my head. I just thought about it.
Okay.
They had this one on Nancy Gray. Y'all can pull this one up because I don't have the tape on this one, but I just remembered it. This was on Nancy Gray, I think, Thursday night, where this white supremacist guy was in the grocery store, and he had a 3-year-old baby. It's been all over the news. And the baby was running around in the store. Run, you know how kids run and play in the aisles. The daddy got so, it was the young baby's daddy. The daddy got so upset with the little boy, he took a closed fist and knocked the little boy out. The mama picked the little boy up and walked out of the store with him. And this same white supremacist, they said he had just been let out of jail after he went over and terrorized a Mexican family and a black family, shooting in their house because he didn't want them to move in the neighborhood. And it was automatically a hate crime because I know in my state in Mississippi, when you do a drive-by shooting, it's a mandatory 10 to 20 years is mandatory. It's automatically mandatory when you do a shooting a dwelling. This man shot up in a dwelling in a drive-by this white supremacist because he didn't want these black people and Mexican people moving in the neighborhood. And they did not. They let him out on bond. Now he come out and strike this child. Now don't get me wrong, you know, I think he should be in jail for the child. I'm not saying he shouldn't. But the minute he scratched the child, now they're going to lock him up with no bond. But what about when he shot up in those people's homes? Why was he let out?
Because he was doing his citizen's duty.
You know, and see, and that's what I'm saying. Why would you, now you so gung-ho to not let him out on bond for this? But when he shot up in that house, he shouldn't have been let out then. That was a hate crime.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Cut and dry, as they say. Cut and dry.
So,
this is a very.
We know there are different laws.
There's a very.
Yep.
For
different groups.
Very sick side. Donald Trump of this country. You guys got to go see Michael Moore's latest movie. It's called Where Do We Invade Next? He gets on all.
Oh, yes, a preview of that.
Oh, man, what a marvelous film. And pray for Mr. Moore. He's in the hospital. I don't know how.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
He better be careful.
Well, you know, that's right. He got on the white supremacy in this country and how America is rich because of on the backs of slaves that helped make America rich. This is all in the film. But he showed how in places like Finland is the number one country for educating children, number one country. And they found, they said that in the faculty meeting in Finland, they don't give out homework. They have children that come to school and let the children know, hey, we adore you as being a child. And we want you to enjoy life, to enjoy school. And they have a setting where the child is not stressed out. And it is just such an indictment against the educational system here. And then it showed in Germany do not allow the children to go to their school system and not be reminded that Germany had a dark side. In the days of Hitler and all that. So they have the children to the documentary and they sent to the museums showed him what it is to have a suitcase packed to go to a concentration camp, all of that. And then he showed in America, because I want to admit its dark side. And he showed how the lynchings going on. And it is just a very moving film that I pray that Mr. Moore is going to be all right. But if he never makes another movie, this is the one before people go to the polls, pull the lever for that damn Trump. It might be Trump or it might be Hillary. But Hillary is not off the hook because, you see, Hillary has two campaigns going, one in Haiti and one here in America. And the Clintons are pushing this, that the fingerprints all over that mess in Haiti. They want to dictate to the Haitian people who they think they want them to have as their new president. They had this Marcherie. He was their boy. And now they got another hand picked that they want to crush on the people's throat. And the people in Haiti, they are not having it. But no, the mainstream media don't mention at all that the Clinton and Bill, they have a second campaign going in Haiti, first in Haiti, and then here in America. They don't build two skyscraper hotels in Port-au-Prince, the capital. They got Bill Clinton got thousands of acres of land. Now, mind you, he couldn't build those houses. He and George W. Bush was doing for relieving those people who lost their homes during the so-called tornado attack. Earthquake attack. To this day, they have not built those homes. But yet, he's got thousands of acres of land in Haiti. They got Haitians killing the land like slaves. However, you're going to find it. Find this film. It's called Where Do We Invade Next?
Yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Take someone with you that has a ticking brain left. This film here is educated. Especially educated. They need to see this film. Mm-hmm. Educated. They're not educated. They are miseducated. And this film, they show you how to educate the children in Finland alone, in Germany.
Oh,
man, it is just so.
Oh, I would love to see that. Yes. Oh, yeah. Me too. Let me ask you this, and also, Icy Hot, who's an educator, do you think that children shouldn't have homework? Should we not have children studying at home or completing homework at home?
The teacher said in this film, America should be for the standardized test, and they should let a child enjoy their life. Before you know it, a child has very few years to be a child before it is an adult. So a child should enjoy life. And they show how the curriculum in Finland, I said, damn, boy, you know how long it'll be before the establishment in this country would dare make school that children will enjoy being in school? They make sure you don't want to leave when it's time to go home in Finland. You don't want to leave. The children are so happy. The children design their playground. The children design their playground. The playground is built based on the children designing. The classroom is so innovative. It's so, it's enough to really say, damn, no wonder these children are bugging out. No wonder these children are bugging out.
Well, I think they should assign homework, and homework should be something that.
Well, when you see this film, it'll show you why homework. They said homework is passe. Let the child's brain be relaxed, and the child can have a more advanced thinking if the child's brain is stimulated with more of an input, where the child can enjoy school. Let the child
I think they should have homework to connect them with what they learned at school that day, is a reminder of what the concepts were,
That's why America's school system is not number one. It's number 26 in education. Number 26, Finland is number one. So something's going wrong here in this country, and something's going very right in Finland. And we need educators need to see this film. Need to see this film and say, are we doing something right with our children? See this film, and then come back and talk to me.
Well, I said, hi, you said that they should have it homework to connect.
I think they have to have that connection, and they have a time on, let's say, a 3 days out of the week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that they could do some different kinds of things as it relates to their educational system, the education. But it just seems like it's a really good opportunity for even the school to connect with the home, the parents, so they will know what the curriculum is. Now, there are a lot of schools in America that do not give children homework. And they tend to be the low achieving schools. They tend to be the schools where very little parent involvement. They tend to be in the lower socioeconomic parts of the inner cities. And the schools that do give homework and the schools that do challenge children tend to be those where the children are more successful. That's been my experience in 37 years in this country. I don't think necessarily that the homework is something that is what's wrong. There are a lot of other things that are problematic. And so, like, when you get ready to talk about getting children educated, really, you know, the homework and with the family could be built in, you know, just experientially. Like, for instance, if I know my children are studying whatever at school, you know, that might be opportunities for me to just talk about that when we see it out in the community, connecting that schooling that your children and the curriculum that your children are getting with, you know, just being in your community every day.
Well,
reinforcing. Yeah, I think that's important too. Ashahada, I agree with that.
They showed it.
And then also, I want to tell y'all too.
Finland has a whole different structure than America. But one of the things that we have to always realize is that what works one place may not work in another place. Finland has all kind of family. Finland has all kind of family resources for their people. You know, they could take off work and childbearing ages and still get their income. It's just a totally different world in Finland.
They showed the film that the schools in Finland, not one school is different from the other school. They make sure that all the schools are the same. That said, the rich kids can go to any school, and the standard is the same for poor children as well as rich children. This is something that is totally unconscionable in this country. They don't make all schools the same here in America, in the average big city.
Well, if you believe that, Mr. Canty, I got a bridge to sell you.
About what? Believe that all,
that all the
equal?
Children, the wealthy and the poor, have the same expectations.
No, I'm saying that they make sure that the schools are ran the same to make sure that no child feels they're better than the other child. That's why.
And I'm saying that is not that accurate information, Mr. Canty.
Okay, well, go see the film. Go see the film and talk to me. See the film. You're making a judgment.
Well, let me put it this way. When I traveled to Finland, and it's been a long, long time ago, maybe Finland has changed quite a lot since I visited there. It could be. But I don't believe, to me, that's I think it's propaganda, but there may be some things we could use in there that would help us here. But, all the glitter isn't gold. Let me tell you what I would suggest based on, and this is just on my limited view of American education. I'm only one person. If you want to look at a model for, educating children, that we might be able to use here in the United States of America, is certainly is not Finland, where there's very little diversity, where there is a lot of, well, I won't even say that. But I think the best model for us to look at, if we really wanted to educate everybody here, is Cuba.
Yes.
Now, they have a literacy rate of 98%, and they have held it throughout all the hell that America has put them through.
That would be
a model if we wanted to look at something that's equitable, that is, across the board. That's who's educating, and it's, some diversity
That's my thought on it. I still maintain, see the film, and then we'll talk. See the film. Where do we invade next? See the film. Because even so, in France, they feed their children brain food. They feed their children various kind of delicacies with cheese. And they don't feed them no french fries, no sodas, no sweet stuff. I mean, and they show them how they serve them this thing called cheese kebab of lamb. Various kinds of chicken, not fried chicken, mind you. But just in France alone, when they show the picture of what they feed the children here in America, they said, oh, those suffering children. The children were saying, in France were saying that in the lunchroom, they saw Michael Moore showed the pictures of what they feed the average kid in the cafeteria here in the United States. And the French children just looked at this and said, oh my God. It was like such a, like I said, see,
well, I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that. I definitely agree with you on that. What they feed the children. Matter of fact, what they put in the food, period, here in this country is nothing short of criminal.
Poison. Yeah. Yes. I mean, those packets of
Nutricide.
Those packets of soy sauce that you use for Chinese food, they put on Chinese food. You know how many milligrams of sodium that is? 900.
Ooh, 900.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that much.
900.
I can't stand to walk past those in a grocery store. I can't stand ramen noodles. I never have like that.
Me either. I never put those on my children.
Listen, a 1985 law set the goal of being able to allow, by 1990, all parents of children in Finland up to the age of 3 the choice between home care payments or a place for their child in a daycare center. So, hell, if you can stay at home until your child is 3 or 5 like my aunt did, then, they will continue their educational career in gifted schools.
That's what I'm talking about. It's all kinds of support in Finland for families, period.
Yeah. Well, my aunt was able to stay at home with her children until they were 5. One of them, her whole academic career was gifted classes, gifted. She skipped a grade,
But there's a reason.
That's important, being able to stay at home with your child.
They have no imagination here in teaching our children in this country. But
they have too many tests.
You see this film, including Cuba. I've heard about the Cuban education system. I'm saying is that white supremacy and Zionism forbid to have these children placed in a track where they would be able to have a better opportunity. Because you see, the jobs that were available, plentiful in this country, it has completely been taken away. So there are no jobs for black American males alone. They'll give it to a Pakistani, Indian, someone from the Caribbean. A lot of Caribbeans come over here. They have great disdain for black Americans. They feel that black Americans have no culture, that we are just a bunch of baboons. Very preconceived notions about black people who come from black Americans when they come from the Caribbean. I asked a Caribbean sister and brother from Jamaica. They couldn't give me that one quote from Marcus Garvey, who was one of the most revered sons of Jamaica next to Bob Marley. Couldn't give me that one quote from Marcus Garvey. So this is what's going on right now. Our people this racist system.
I want to tell you about a new law they finna pass, well, it already passed in Mississippi. by the Republican House. It's both the it's majority on both houses in Mississippi. Well, they just passed a law, and the law that they passed to do with education, they gonna have like how they give they grade the kids. And you can go on the computer and look at your kids' grades. Now they done passed the law. They're going to grade the parents. And they're going to grade the parents on participation with the kids and at the school. And this is what they're going to do, y'all. They're going to take it and post it so the world can see. This is what they're going to do. They're going to take it and they're going to
the world.
And what I mean by anybody going to be able to go and look at your...
And they're going to get messed around and get sued for defamation of character, too. Watch.
They're not in Mississippi. Them Ku Klux Klans ain't going to let them get away with it. They ain't going to let you sue nobody. Them Ku Klux Klans down here ain't going to let you sue nobody. Well, this is the law that they done passed that they finna do. It's like they said they're going to give the parents a grade. And they saying it's not and I can agree with them in a sense like this. They said not to degrade anybody. They trying to make people, a lot of people participate in their children's activities.
And they also going to get sued for Data Privacy Act.
Well, that's the new law I got passed here in Mississippi, y'all.
The civil liberties gonna swoop down on them so fast.
That's pretty interesting there.
It sure is.
Delta. I just can't even imagine that. So they're gonna grade the parents.
They're gonna grade the parents.
Based on their participation with the child. Homework,
with the
schooling,
child.
I mean, with
like,
the, with
like a lot of times they say they can't get no feedback from the parents, no participation, no nothing. So they're going to start grading the parents. And they're going to post it where you can see it.
I think they should offer some type of services to the parents because they don't know what's going on with the parents. I remember when I was in Norfolk, and some of the teachers were talking about they couldn't get the children's the parents to be involved, and they even had some companies or individuals donate transportation, like vans, to go and pick the parents up to bring them to the school activities, and some of the parents still wouldn't come. So I know I talked to Mother Hattie about this, and she said sometimes you have to take it to the parents. You know, you just don't know what these people are going through. You don't know what's going on behind somebody's closed door.
That's true.
A lot of them can see in this one. We got to quit making excuses for our communities. I mean, like, some people may have problems, but the whole school ain't having problems almost. I just can't see it. Now, we
and
had a quick, but take a guess at you and listen. I don't mean to cut you off because what if we had a twerking contest? If we had a twerking contest and tell them that you're going to get a gold chain and a gold key, who can do the best twerking, come on down here, it'll be packed out. You know it, not know it'll be packed out.
Yeah, and you know what? And what you're saying is very, very true. It probably will be packed out. But the question is, why would it be packed out? And why aren't those parents more involved with the children? It's because of something. It's something with the environment, something with this whole.
It might be the water. Maybe they got lead poisoning and you can afford to buy your water. Maybe they're drinking the water.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a bunch of factors that I just kind of listened to. Sorry about that. Different factors that I look at as to why these parents, I'm not making excuses for them, I'm just trying to think of different factors that are playing into why they are like that. Because
some understanding.
Some understanding to it, because I mean, you have parents that are homes that are completely impoverished, and that's the last thing on their mind is, I need to go up here to talk to this teacher about whatever the hell she want to talk about, because I got to pay the light bill or the light off.
Right,
the
and that's what most of them's problem is.
Right, the
most
lights
of them, many of them,
are gonna be off. Or the water is off. Like let's take some of the situations that were happening in Detroit and happening in Flint right now. The water is off, so they're gonna come and take my child. But the teacher's talking about come up here and look at this C or D that your child made on this test or whatever. And the parents sitting up here trying to figure out how I'm gonna keep CPS off my ass, how I'm gonna get the water back on, you know, things like that. I'm just thinking of like, what's going on in those people's lives? I don't want to make excuses for them, but I'm just saying there are certain things that could be and that do happen to people that cause them to check the fuck out. I mean, excuse my language.
Right.
I mean, they just check out and they're not thinking rationally like we do because we're not living their life. I'm not worried about the lights getting cut off over here. I'm not worried about the water. I'm not worried about lead in the water. I'm not worried about if somebody's going to come and take my car from me because I can't pay the car note. I'm not worried about those things. But think about all the people that are. And coming up to a damn school to deal with some shit, that for them, you know, yeah, to me it's very important. I would do it. But for them, because they're in a whole nother different world, they may be getting their ass beat every night. You know, maybe she don't want to come up to the school because she's beat down.
Right.
And it may not be a physical beating. It may just be an emotional or mental beating from the system, from some silly ass man or anything.
Right.
You know, I'm just looking at it like that.
You got to take into consideration also, when you go to these schools, the condescending attitude toward black parents where they talk down to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use the wrong verbs or adjectives, mispronouncing words,
mm-hmm.
they talk down to you, and they say, what?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, pardon me, or excuse me.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Right.
And when you get to the school building, you got to go through this kind of checkpoint charge as if you're in prison.
Yeah, like you're in prison. Metal detectors and all of this, and then they want you to come to the school when they want you to, but then when you just want to come, they don't want you to come. You gotta make an appointment. You gotta do this.
All that red tape you have to go through.
Yeah, all of this stuff. Yeah. Parents can't even. My mom used to come and just sit in the classroom. Nowadays, at some of these schools, you can't do that. But not now in Detroit. You can walk right up into the school and do whatever the hell you want to do in some of the schools. Because, I mean, all of the security has been privatized by one particular company, and securing the children is not what they're there for. So, you know what? We missed our break. We missed the break. And then we need to come back with the mind, body, and spirit, and we can pick back up on some of Delta's.
Right. I'll talk to you later.
You gotta leave us, Ken. Okay. All right. Have a good night. We need to take a quick break. Good night, King B. Thanks for sharing. And then we'll come back with the mind, body, and spirit. And then we have a caller, so we'll take our call also. So let's just take a quick break. And Delphi has some really good hot topics tonight that we can touch on also. Come back to them. We'll revisit those.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
I don't know what most white people in this country feel, but I can only include what they feel from the state of their institution. I don't know if white Christians hate Negroes or not, but I know that we have a Christian church which is white and a Christian church which is black. I know, as Malcolm X once put it, the most segregated hour in American life is high noon on Sunday. That says a great deal for me about a Christian nation. It means that I can't afford to trust most white Christians, and certainly cannot trust the Christian church. I don't know whether the labor unions and their bosses really hate me. That doesn't matter, but I know I'm not in their union. I don't know if the real estate lobby is anything against black people, but I know the real estate lobbies keep me in the ghetto. I don't know if the Board of Education hates black people, but I know the textbooks I give my children to read and the schools that we have to go to. Now, this is the evidence. You want me to make an act of faith, risking myself, my wife, my woman, my sister, my children, on some idealism which you assure me exists in America, which I have never seen.
And that was Brother James Baldwin.
Ah, right. I knew I recognized his voice. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Aja, Mother Zola, bring us your mind, body, and spirit.
All right. Following James Baldwin, I have one for you. The mind, body, and spirit, conscious revolution. So, the title of this is, and I'd like some feedback from your caller and from the listening audience on this. Through whose eyes are you viewing this world? Through whose eyes are you viewing this world? White America is a country with a limited historical perspective and a very short-term memory. White riots and pogroms, and that's not programs, pogroms. For those who are not familiar with the word pogroms, P-O-G-R-O-M-S, it's ethnic cleansing. The organized killing, massacre, mass murder, slaughter, annihilation, extermination of many people, usually because of their race or religion. So, the uprising and righteous anger of black young people in Baltimore and elsewhere is almost by default described as a riot. White riots and pogroms against black Americans are a fixture of American history. But the corporate news media enables many white Americans intentional forgetting and mass amnesia. Deeper questions about class inequality and racism are removed from the dominant media frame and replaced by tired, trite, and profoundly unsophisticated claims that the uprising in Baltimore was caused by absent black fathers, broken homes, and an urban culture of poverty and violence. Also, the most famous one, black-on-black crime. Many Americans in the news media and elsewhere are reluctant to acknowledge how the angry and violent response by Baltimore's young people against the illegitimate, cruel, and repeated acts of police brutality and killings in their community could be logical and wholly reasonable. In other words, that's what people do when they're being attacked. They rise up, unless they're dead. Yet they're referred to by our president as, quote-unquote, hooligans. The white racial frame, which is a system of belief that legitimizes and normalizes white dominance and privilege in North American society, has produced the language of, quote-unquote, riots, quote-unquote, black pathology, quote-unquote, thugs. I think that's what he called them, thugs. And criminals that is commonly used to describe the Baltimore uprising and others like it. The white racial frame does the work of white supremacy and helps to maintain the political, social, and economic systems of white privilege and unearned advantages. The white racial frame also distorts historical facts by erasing America's long tradition of white-on-black violence across the color line. In fact, the United States rioting and race wars against people of color are almost exclusively the domain of white Americans. During the 1863 New York City draft riots, white people ran amok, killing black Americans and destroying the African-American community, churches, orphanages where children were, businesses, and schools. In 1921, over a 24-hour time period, whites destroyed the prosperous black community in Tulsa, Oklahoma. White rioters used machine guns and dropped bombs
in what may have been one of the first recorded uses of a plane for that purpose on the black community. Conservative estimates suggested at least several hundred black people were killed. Whites even stole bubble gum out of folks' homes. White women came into the black homes carrying shopping bags, looting. There were 26 white-on-black race riots during the year 1919 alone. White Americans are the country's most successful, adept, and skilled rioters. White America is an expert on rioting and race wars. Black America is a neophyte amateur with little to no experience in such matters by comparison. In East St. Louis, whites engage in a pogrom against the black community. Like Chicago, this is part of the Red Summers, in which whites attempted to reassert their control and dominance over the black community in the aftermath of World War I. Historian Gregory Downs has suggested as many as 50,000 black Americans were killed by white racial terrorism in the 30 years following the end of the American Civil War. This total may not even include at least 4,000 blacks who were victims of lynchings by whites across the South and other parts of the United States. Scholars such as James Lowen estimate that as many as 3,000 black communities were ethnically cleansed by white violence and other means of intimidation. In summary, white riots and other types of mass violence against the black community enriched white Americans through land theft, the destruction of black businesses, and as a way of enforcing a regime of racial terrorism that economically and politically oppressed the black community, and such as a way to directly and indirectly fill white America's pocketbooks. So, whose eyes are you viewing this world? If you look at the white, look at the information through the white media, it looks like the black community has just run amok. But they have amnesia. They have historical amnesia because basically the whites are the ones who really have done the most rioting in history. And I know as a student of African American history, and as well as just African history, Black Rose, you have some astronomical figures and information about the riots that have been targeted against blacks, yet when we rise up and say no more, we don't want any more killing, we're considered as thugs. It's called all kinds of names, and it's blamed on all the families, and they're just killing each other, black on black crime, da 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 da. But then nobody mm-hmm. really looks at the fact of the history of riots against black people.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Yeah, nobody really outlines that or delineates all of these different acts of terrorism against us. So it's always, blacks did this, blacks rioting, blacks looting, and all of this. Just like you mentioned in Tulsa, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
who was doing all the looting? It was the white
right.
people looting from the black people's homes, stealing bubble gum, pianos, fur coats, and all that. They act like they weren't coming to America with Eddie Murphy and what's his name? You know, they just
they were
in the house just stealing stuff and walking around with it, you know, rolling pianos
right.
down the street and everything.
Right,
you
exactly.
know, they are the ones who were doing the looting.
Yes.
Still looting in Africa. So, you know, and all
still
of the time they looting here. I mean, you got us paying water bills and light bills. You got the people in Flint paying for lead water. I mean,
right.
oh, really? That's
yeah.
crazy.
It is.
Craziness.
It really
so,
is.
Yeah, those are my thoughts.
Take your caller and, check the history.
Check
the
history. Check the history. That's all I say. Check the history. Let's take this caller from 404.
Hey, greetings, ladies. Greetings, Sarah. How are you?
Sarah!
Yes, I
hello!
Yeah, Mother Dunning, Mother Hattie, as well as, I guess King Lee left for the night. He has to get up early, I see.
Yeah.
As well as Black Rose, welcome back. I'm glad you're back safe. You might probably need to do some detoxing after coming back from Detroit with all that bad water and everything else they have in Texas.
I'm telling you, exactly, that water up there. You know, and when you try to say anything about the water in Detroit, they still tell you, not anything against my people up in Detroit, they still say, well, you know, Detroit, we have some of the best water in the whole world. You may used to have it, but I'm kind of questioning all of that because, I mean, that water has me itching so bad. And see, like when I get out of the shower, same routine as I use here. I put on my mustard oil while I'm still wet. Then I let myself air dry a little bit, and then I put my shea butter on top of on my body. Well, actually, here at home, I don't even have to use the shea butter every day. But there, I'm telling you, I can do the same routine. Mustard oil, then put my shea butter on. I promise you, like 10, 15 minutes later, I got to come back with another layer of shea butter because I'm back dry, I'm back itchy and scratching and all this stuff. So I'm not too sure that water clean. And as a matter of fact, there I am. I'm doing a master cleanser starting Monday, tomorrow, to try to clean my system out because, I don't know about that water up there.
Well, all I could tell you is, you know, make sure, get you plenty of cilantro. And aloe vera juice. And it's going to help to, you know, remove all of that lead and any kind of metals in your body. It's going to help to eliminate it.
And okay. And watercress is good for that too, as well as kelp.
Yeah, kelp. That too. But try and get yourself to a sauna. If you can go to a sauna and help sweat it out too, go ahead and try and get you in there because you need to go to a steam room where you can steam. And, you know, don't let that sweat dry. And you just wash that sweat off your body as you start steaming. Just go in there nice and wet. Uh-huh. And then as your body starts sweating, just go ahead, just come out, you know, shower down, wash that sweat off because all that is toxins coming out your body. You don't want it to dry and go back into your body.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Aloe vera, the kelp. Okay.
Yeah, and water. Cilantro.
Cilantro
is really good. Yeah, I eat it every day. I put that on my salad.
I put it in the smoothie.
Yeah, you put it in your smoothie, or I eat it raw. I just get a bunch of it, wash it off real good, and I could just eat it raw by itself. I just had some earlier tonight. I had some avocado, cilantro, and cucumber. I just cut it up, sprinkle some squeeze some lime on top of it, and that's what I ate.
You know what? I have all those ingredients in the kitchen right now. And so I need to, because I bought two bunches of cilantro yesterday, and I did use some when I was cooking, but I need to just eat it raw, like you said.
Yeah.
I need to try that also. We've been putting it in the smoothies, and because I think cilantro is a good cancer-fighting green
leaf. It's a good toxin remover. It's very good.
It really is.
That's why you see these Mexicans running around here as fat as they are. You don't see them getting all these kind of complications that we do. Because you go into a Mexican place, they put cilantro in just about everything.
Oh, they have plenty of cilantro for you.
Yep, cilantro and lime. That's a main thing in their diet.
Yeah, because the lime is cleansing.
Yep.
Okay. That's a good health tip. Good health tip. Well, what's been going on with you, Sarah? What are your thoughts on all this Flint? I would love to hear your thoughts on what's going on with Flint and what's going on in Detroit with this emergency manager and all of this nonsense.
These people are trying to ethnically remove us from out of here, and they're doing it by hook or crook. They're no longer even trying to hide it. No,
right.
We have this going on over there, and then they talk about this Zika virus that they're talking about, trying to scare people up into getting vaccines and all this other crap. But see, white people, they operate on fear. Everything for them is on fear. From their religion.
Sure is.
From their from their religion to their movies. You look at all of their movies. All of their movies have to do with fear. Fear and
sure
money.
Do. Sure do.
There's always somebody flashing somebody or some rich
murderer
or something like that, because everything in their culture is based on fear. So they have got to try and scare people up, because the whole idea is they want to control the birth rate. They tried the Ebola thing. It didn't quite go off as well as they were hoping it was going to go off. So now this year they're going to run with this Zika virus that they're going to try and say, okay, these mosquitoes are out here. But people in the tropics have always had issues with mosquitoes. Mosquitoes is a natural element in the tropics. As your body builds up, you get stung enough time with mosquitoes, your body builds up enough antigens in it to fight off whatever it is, you know, from the dengue to whatever other fevers that you have out there. You would be able to fight it off. You naturally, through your immune system and the environment, you don't need none of this stuff. You see, whenever the CDC want to be running around here with their needles and they want to be sticking people, you've got to tell yourself that, these people are trying to do something, because it's always in an area where there are majority people of color, black people in particular, from Africa to Brazil, because Brazil, have a majority. They went to majority black population down there in Brazil. Now they got to run down there with their needles and say, okay, we got mosquitoes down here, and we need to go ahead and start inoculating you. These people are nothing but straight up devils.
I know when I first saw the first story about this Zika virus, I said, oh, here they go. Here they go with all of this fear-mongering. Here's another concocted disease.
Yes.
Something to get people all scared about. And
here they come running with their needles.
Yes. And then they say, it could be contracted through sex. Here you go, trying to stop people from having sex again. And all of them,
to abort their babies. Because, first of all, they tell the pregnant women who are pregnant to know they have a lot of people scared that their children will come up deformed and they're going to be running out here to try and have late-term or early-term abortions.
Yeah, just a bunch of nonsense. I'm so sick of them. Every time you turn around, it's something new. Something new. Ebola, like you said, Ebola, then it's ISIS, and then it's just Zika virus. And
Lord Jesus.
They just come up with all kinds of things.
Yeah, Boko Haram, they got running wild, out there in Nigeria, Benin, and these other places, blowing up places and doing all of this stuff. You know, the white people are just, they are ramping up their game. They're seeing that whatever it is they're trying to do, it's not working fast enough.
Right.
They have little hot spots all over the globe trying to see which one works, and whichever one they see would work, that's the one they're going to institute worldwide and make it think that, okay, this is what you have to do. People are backing away from inoculation and vaccines. People are not going for that anymore. So they've got to find another way to get you to agree to stick your arms out so they can stick you.
Yeah. So, well, you beg them to stick you. Come on, give it to me. Give me that whatever it is so I won't get it.
Yeah, because you go to all of these places, from Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, everybody is running these shots and say, okay, you pay by $25 worth of groceries or whatever, you can come and get a free flu shot and all this other nonsense. I saw these signs all over the place. Kroger, you name it, have this. Like out here in Dallas, they have all these big billboards on the side of the highway from all of these chain stores, supermarkets, drug stores, telling you if you spend a certain dollar amount, you can come on up in there and get a free flu shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I'm just saying, since when am I going to be going to a grocery store and buying my groceries and flu shots at the same time? I got to be crazy.
Yes, that's crazy. Come on, get you some poison.
But you know how black folks, it's a good deal, and a lot of us run along there with it, and we're gonna.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free. So we haven't learned yet from Tuskegee that ain't nothing free.
Right. Well, what do y'all think about Chelsea Clinton going to Flint and talking about how it's so horrible? This is a catastrophe by any definition. I'm going to keep talking about this, not only here in Flint, but across the country. because this is something every American should care about. Didn't I tell y'all 8 years ago I was not going to vote for Hillary Clinton then? Because next thing you know, her little daughter will be trying to run for president too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she's setting herself up.
No, she said
she's setting her mother up. She is doing for her mother. I was here, like, Bill Clinton was there, your hometown, Memphis, Tennessee. He was out there, like, this past weekend. Chelsea, as you said, out there in the Detroit area. Because, as we all know, Flint is what? It's over 50% black. These people are gearing up because already the Hollywood crowd have sent out these black actors and actresses like Angela Bassett, Vivica Fox, and all of them. They're down in South Carolina. So they've already dispatched them out to go and round up the black votes within which because the Super Tuesday is getting ready to kick off on March 1st. 12 states are up, over half the delegates, the super delegates is going to be up for grabs on March 1st in those 12 states that are going to be holding their primaries. So they're sending all these black stooges. They're already on the run, and they're trying to round up all of these runaways and get you on back to the plantation to go and tell you that Hillary Clinton is the right choice. You've got to be crazy. I would not even vote for Hillary. If she was the last person on that ticket, I would cross her name out and just put my own name on the top if I have to vote.
Me too, Sarah.
I can't even hold my nose and vote for her.
Except after what she and her husband has done to Haiti, what they have done in Libya, throughout all parts of Africa, what her husband has done while he was president of this country with the three strikes
Remember when he dropped that bomb on that hospital? It was some kind of little hospital. Same old thing that Barack just finished doing, and then tried to say, I thought it was in Yemen or one of those countries
over there with a lot of brown people that they dropped that bomb, and it was a food. The person that was making food was some kind of factory, and they killed But we got to go back to Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton was running for, when he was still governor of Arkansas, and he was running for president, he came off the campaign trail and executed that that black man who was mentally impaired. He had to show white people that he's a real low-down redneck cracker, that he know how to handle these niggas, and I'm going to go back there and put this black man to death. See, these people have always used black people to round up the base, to show white folks, you see, I might be hanging out with these niggas, but when it comes to handling them, I know how to really handle them. And black people are not getting it. You've seen all these churches are inviting her in, and she's coming in there, and she's playing this Paula Deen role, or, you know, trying to talk this Southern slang and all sort of craziness that she's doing. Uh-huh. And black folks are falling all over. They're falling for it. Because you got John you know, whatever line dance, you know, whatever new line dance, she's coming in, she's going to do it. You know how black people are. We go crazy and see white people can dance and they can sing. We lose our minds.
Yes. We ready to give them a black card right away.
Exactly. Like you said with Bill Clinton, but he was an artist. All he covered was the shades of the saxophone. Black folks lose their minds.
Yes, they did.
She is doing the same thing now. She's playing that same role now to say, okay, I know these black people better than anybody else. I was in, I was in the White House, and I have all these executive experience. And I always come back to what I told people over again. I said, Hillary Clinton and her husband, they started this mess with Barack Obama questioning his birth in this country and started the birthers. It came from Hillary Clinton and her husband, Bubba. They started it because they questioned his paternity. And then when she went on, and then when she was doing that debate, and she told him to repudiate Mr. Farrakhan and all of that, she started it. And once
she sure did.
Once
she sure did.
That gate, all the other white folks ran through that gate with her, and that's why for the 7 years, that man, that black man and his family, they went through the ringer, and by default, all black people in this country have found themselves in such an unsafe position with all these unnecessary killings and random killings happening to black people. It all started with them damn Clinton. They started it.
Sure did.
Don't forget, it was right there in South Carolina, too, where Clinton went down there And he told them, and he got real raw with them black folks and come and say, you know, call Bill Clinton boy. I refer to him that, you know, that, you know, 20 years or 40 years ago, he would be serving them tea in the White House and all that kind of nonsense. You know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
People, I have to keep reminding black people, you cannot forgive these Clintons. These people, you know, they have done us a whole lot. And then Madeleine Albright, she brought him that damn Madeleine Albright. She brought a Gloria Steinem, another a CIA informant, Gloria Steinem. Then she got that damn war criminal Henry Kissinger. People are judged by the company they keep. Them three that she's running with, it should be enough of a warning to tell black folks, you just stay clear of this goddamn woman. She is dangerous.
Yeah,
she's much more dangerous.
She admires Henry Kissinger and this man.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pull up some posters when we come back. Yeah, he was a real killer. And that's who you admire and pattern yourself after? Sister, I can't deal with you. I can't even call her sister. Let's go to a quick break and then we'll come right back. And Delta, stay with us, Delta. We have your letter. Someone needs some help.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennium. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, I think Mother Zola had a recipe. Has a recipe that she would like to share. You have a recipe?
Yes, I do. Let me pull it up right quick. Let's see. Okay. First, I wanted to tell you the five of the best foods to open up your pineal gland, and that's like your third eye. So we have pineapple. Pineapple is one of the highest content of vitamin C. It not only boosts your immune system, but it helps get rid of free radicals, what we were talking about earlier. It improves your brain function. Then we have watercress, which it removes metals from your bloodstream. Black rose, you need to consider that. We got some watercress. It's full of antioxidants and it's anti-aging. And it has lutein, which is good for the eyes. And avocado. Sarah was just talking about avocado. It contains lutein also. And it helps insulate the gray matter in the brain, and it improves the brain function. And it helps the neurons speed up. Bananas. A banana day keeps the doctor away. Large amounts of tryptophan. And it helps produce serotonin. And serotonin produces melatonin, which activates the pineal gland. And the melatonin is best activated by 2 a.m. So if you late hours are staying up past 2 o'clock, you're cutting yourself short on your melatonin, and you have to have that to get your proper rest for your body. And lastly, we have coconut. So coconut, research has been done on coconut that shows that coconut water can be used for blood plasma. But we suggest it only in case of emergency. So if you're dehydrated, drink coconut water, not the sports drink. Drink coconut water. And cancer begins with dehydration, and because you've got lack of oxygen in your blood cells. So coconut has what's called lauric acid, and it boosts the immune system, and it has potassium, and it also helps in improving the brain function as well. So the coconut water is really, really good for hydrating you. So here is a wonderful, what I call a third eye smoothie. This is a concoction of my own, and it's using these five very important superfoods. One banana, a fourth of an avocado, watercress, cilantro, coconut water, coconut milk, fresh pineapples, a little ginger, and chia seeds. Now, chia seeds are packed with nutrition. And I always put a little juice of lime just for cleansing and for that little kick. And some ice cubes. And if you like, you can, if you like a little spicy taste to your smoothie, put a small piece of habanero in there. Habanero is very good. It's packed with nutrients. Any kind of red colored veggies like red tomatoes, red peppers, they're really good for your nutrition. So I will put this up on the Facebook for the Lotus Place Radio. But this is a wonderful smoothie that you can fix for yourself. And it is packed with these five nutrients that will open up your pineal gland, banana, avocado, watercress, coconut water, pineapple.
That sounds delicious.
That was in the smoothie that you had earlier.
Oh, and it was so good. It was delicious. Thank you. Open up your pineal gland. Let me share this quote right here. One of Henry Kissinger's quotes. He says, military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policies. And he also said, it is not a matter of what is true that counts, but a matter of what is perceived to be true. Ha ha.
It is not what you're... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were finished. Sorry.
Well, just one more and then you can comment. The absence of alternatives clears the mind marvelously. So, we don't need to give you any alternatives. You don't need to be thinking about anything else. It's just what we put before you.
Right.
So, that's how I take that. But yeah, Henry Kissinger. Anyway, I sure wouldn't be mirroring myself after him patterning my life.
Oh, no. Here's a quote. It is not what you're looking at, it is what you see.
What you see. Not what you're looking at, what you see.
It is not what you're looking at, it is what you see. You and I could be looking at the same thing, but we can see something totally different.
Like the
Beyonce video. Different people looked at that same video, but they got different interpretations from it.
Speaking of which, what is it? Saturday Night Live did a spoof on the whole Beyonce video controversy. And so the spoof was the day that white people realized Beyonce was black. And so it showed like white people just going crazy. They were like, what is she doing? Oh my God. You know, they were like just freaking out, just dying, having seizures and everything.
I would have loved to see
like,
that one.
She's black. She's talking about black stuff.
Yeah. After they gave her the most beautiful woman in the world title. They don't like that.
All right. Delta? Is Delta still with us? Okay, maybe Delta dipped off.
Did she mute herself?
Leo, I'm right here.
Oh,
can
okay.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Delta, you ready for your letter? We can go ahead on and get your letter in.
Yes, I'm ready. I am most certainly am.
You ready?
Okay. All right, let me see. Let me get this. I had it up. Give me 1 second. Let me let somebody else go ahead on and share a comment while I get this letter back up. Does anyone have any
Anything they'd like to share while I get Delta's letter back?
Yes, I want to ask a question. You know, I hear all of them talking about on the news that President Obama, they not going to let him, like, make a nomination. I want to know, can they stop him from doing that? Can they literally stop?
They can't stop him from nominating whomever he wants. But the problem that I like to tell people is that he has 10 months left in office, and the House and the Senate is Republican controlled. The Senate are the ones that has to confirm his nomination. And right now, since it's Republican control, it's not gonna get through. Ted Cruz and all of them have already come out stating that they want to leave it up to the next president to be the one to do the nominating. So they have already told you that they're going to block it. And he can't executive appoint someone on that court. So it's going to be one or two things that's going to happen. One, he's going to compromise with the Republicans as he's been doing all along throughout his tenure in that White House. And he's going to put something on the topic table to tell them, okay, I'm willing to put those security cuts back on the table if you're going to allow me to put through somebody that he wants to get put through. That might be a possibility that's going to get through. Two, what they're going to do, he's going to pull a fast one on us, just like going to get a black woman to use as a political football with no intention of getting her on the court, because everybody's been crying, we want a black woman or we want somebody black on the court. He's gonna pull out a well-qualified sister or brother to be out there for the first choice and put her out there to be used around the political football, where they're gonna kick her around, and then that he's gonna use that kicking around as a rallying point to run up all these Negroes who have been running away from voting, to bring them back and say, okay, you see how they're treating this poor black woman? They knocked down her nomination, and she blah, blah, blah. Black people are going to use that skin tribal tribalism to run out there to vote hard and heavy for Democrats, Hillary Clinton, more than likely, to use that within which to get votes. Because I think that is exactly what they're going to do. A black woman is about to be tossed out here as red meat to be used by these people, because they have no intention of putting her on the bench, but they want her to use it as a football to rally the base. That is what's going to happen. One of those two things is going to happen.
Okay.
A black woman as a football kick around. Two, he's going to put something on the table as a compromise to say, okay, I'm willing to do this for y'all if y'all let my nominee get through. And whatever he put on the table and shot, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect black people. And which is why I keep telling people, the Supreme Court is not a damn priority. I want to say it again. Whoever gets put on that Supreme Court, it's not a damn priority. We have this thing called states' rights. Each state in the union have their own constitution in addition to the United States Constitution. Every state, they are a self-governing entity. They all have the state Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the land for each state. So if you have a case, it goes through the system until it gets to the state Supreme Court for that respective state. If that state denied it, then they could appeal to take that case to the appellate court, which is the next thing that they can do. The United States Court of Appeals. Then the last thing that they can do is they go to the United States Circuit Court that covers whatever district those states fall within. We have several of those districts around the country. And the most powerful one is the one that covers the District of Columbia. That is the most powerful U.S. Circuit Court. So from there, once the case gets to one of these circuit courts, because I believe Texas falls under Texas, Mississippi, we fall under the Third Circuit. Once it gets to the circuit court there, the U.S. Circuit Court, they have to review this case and say, okay, we see something here to justify it. We're going to forward this case up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Once it gets to the United States Supreme Court, they have thousands of cases that get sent up there every year from all around the country, from all of these different circuit courts. They do a lottery, and they pick which one of these thousands of cases are the most important ones that they want to use within which to set a precedent, a judicial precedent, United States Supreme Court do not make laws. I'm keeping clean. The United States Supreme Court do not make laws. All they do is they reinterpret laws already made by other courts. They go and they render their interpretation of those laws. That's what they do. So people who focus so much on the United States Supreme Court and the court of that court, it's a moot situation. The legislative branch of the government, we have the executive, the presidency, the legislature, which is the Congress and the Senate, and the judicial, which is the U.S. Supreme Court. The most powerful of those three branches is the legislative. They're the ones who make laws. They're the ones who have the ability to declare war. All the other two branches, they just act as checks and balances for each other. But the most powerful has always been the legislative branch. Why are we letting people tell us that you got to worry about who the president put on the goddamn Supreme Court? It's not a priority. Your chances are greater. You can go to the 7-Eleven and buy a scratch off and get something from it than to worry about a case that the United Supreme Court is going to pull from all these thousands of cases that they get every year and use that as a case that they want to use to do a review on and to write new case law. That's why that case from up here from Texas, Fisher versus Texas, it's been kicked around for over 10 years. Because the Supreme Court is going to look at it and say, okay, we're going to send it back down to the lower court. And the lower court is going to say, you know what, we're going to send it back to the state. Let the state look it over and decide if something is here and let them make a decision. They're not going to touch it. That's what they do. They play football. They send these cases back down to the state. Because state law takes precedent. That's what the whole Civil War was about. South Carolina seceded from the Union, claiming states' rights, and all these other states seceded with them, and that's what started the Civil War. States' rights. And people keep getting that confused, and unless people are telling them that they got to worry about the United States Supreme Court and what justice gets put onto that bench. It's not a priority, people. I'm saying it's a very, very low priority on our scales of things. And that's a quick lesson in civics.
All right, that sure was a quick lesson. Did that answer your question, Delta?
Yes, it did. I was just wondering because they talking about we gonna do this and we gonna block this and we gonna do this and he can't nominate nobody. And I was saying that if he the president, he should be able to nominate somebody.
The president can nominate anyone he wants. The president can even nominate himself if he wants to. He's an attorney. So he can nominate whomever he wants, but the Senate has to confirm that nomination. It has to go through the Senate. They have to get all these confirmation hearings, and they can stall and stall and stall for the next 10 months and block that nomination until the new president gets into office January of 2017. And that's exactly what they're going to do, because right now they control both houses.
And they'll sit here all this week and they're going to run that whole story into the ground about nominating somebody and all of this nonsense. Boy, they get on my nerve. Every time it's time to nominate somebody,
distractions.
He's going to pick a safe bet. Whoever he gets, because right now they're running this name of Srini Srinivasan. This is an Indian American lawyer who was an assistant U.S. Attorney General under Elena Kagan, and the president just appointed him to sit on the D.C. Circuit Court. That is the next powerful court in the land, right under the Supreme Court. There are three most powerful courts in this country. There's the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, the U.S. Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. There's the D.C. Circuit Court, and then there's the U.S. Supreme Court. Those are the three most powerful courts in the land. All these other courts throughout the country, they're amongst a hill of beans. And if this man is already sitting as a judge on the D.C. Circuit Court, Srinivasan, and he's already, he sailed through the set for his confirmation hearing to get onto that court, he went through the nomination process with this sitting Senate of a 97-0. Nobody opposed him. So if the president decided to pull him off of that bench and say, okay, he's going to be my nominee for to be placed, Justice Scalia, you can rest assured he's going to sail right on through his nomination process because he already did it before. And that's what the president's going to do. He's going to pick somebody that he knows going to go sail right on through with no obstruction and get him on that bench. Anybody else,
he's not going to try it up for the next 10 months of his office. You know, he ain't going to do that. So any black woman that y'all think he's going to pick a black woman, only about time he's going to pick that is if he feel that he got to use a black woman like he always use black people within which to rally these runaway slaves and get them back on that plantation.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, I wish we had some more time to talk about voting because I would love to get into voting some more. So we have to pick that back up with all the debates that's been going on, the Republican debate and the Democratic debate and all of them sitting up there lying and talking about nothing. They just get on my nerves. Delta, let me give you your letter because this person says she
okay.
needs some help. And you, thanks, Sarah, for giving us that civics lesson.
Yeah,
well,
thank you
so much. Mm-hmm. She's always bringing the knowledge. I love it. Absolutely. Hey, Delta, this lady, she says she needs your help. Her house is in disorder. She's saying disorder, disorder, disorder. Her and her husband are in a deep, deep argument due to the fact that they agreed that when her son graduates, when he becomes a senior, that they would purchase a car for him to go off to college. However, his senior year, he's somehow seems to have been distracted, constantly distracted, either it's girls or partying or something. She's not sure, but his grades have fallen drastically. So she says that since they promised her son that they would purchase a car for him, she wants to uphold that promise. However, her husband is saying that they should not purchase the car for him until he brings his grades up because he has been failing in his classes, and she wants to know, should she continue with the promise? Should she stick with the promise and buy her son the car, or should her and her husband reconsider that?
No, she shouldn't buy him a car if he's not keeping up with his grades. And let me back up. I wanted to make sure. Did you say this his first year in school?
No,
the letter didn't say.
No, he's still in high school, but they were.
He's still in high
school. Yeah. Mhm. And they were going to buy his car for him, his senior year. So he'll be going off to college soon. But
that's a well now down south. Let me tell you how we do it down south, and I'm just saying. Now down south, you may pull up in a yard, and they may have five kids in the house, and if all those kids are teenage years, you know, of age, 16. Uh-huh. Down south, everybody has their car. And the reason why they have it, because I'm just saying, I'm taking it for instance, down south is because we don't have city buses. And that's why you have to have a car. But now, if you got city bus, catch the bus. But now, if you a child that's giving your parent, if he having problems in school already, he's not ready for no car. Because a car is this is what I teach my grandson. A car is a deadly weapon. And a car is no play toy. And you only supposed to take that car to drive it to go to your practice and cut your grass and come back home. But you take my grandson, I will put a car in my grandson's hand. Because I have a very good grandson. But if my grandson was giving me trouble, I wouldn't put a car in his hand. And the reason why I can say that, I can go back from experience. I had a son, and down south, everybody, like I said, had a car. And I wanted to give my son a car because all the other kids had a car. Even though I knew my son wasn't doing like he should have, I gave him a car, and that was a nightmare from hell. If you're not ready, you're not ready. You don't reward good behavior.
And next
that's
time,
right.
You do not, you know, reward good behavior, you know, I mean, bad behavior. You don't get a car. Because if you get a car already and he's having problems, you giving him a loaded gun, because a car is nothing to play with. You tell him to be at one place and he gonna be in another spot. When you got a child that's disobedient already, why would you put a car in their hand? To me, a car is a deadly weapon. So I wouldn't give no child no car that is not mine. Because I did it with my son, and it was a deadly mistake. So I'm telling her from experience, that's a bad idea. When you already have a problem with him and you go give him the car, he'll be all over the other side of town. And let me give you another. The number one rule is I wouldn't give him a car. He's not ready. And then I heard the rapist say, and listen, now we got to laugh on this one. I heard the rapist say, and let me back up what I'm saying, Bill Cosby, the rapist, and he said this, and I never forgot this. Rich as he is, Bill Cosby said he never bought his child a car and never gave his child a cell phone. Never. Never. He said if they got a cell phone or a car, they got it on their own. He never gave them one.
Well, when his children were young, shoot, we didn't even have cell phones.
We didn't have cell phones then.
But what I'm telling you,
he never gave his child a cell phone or a car. So what I'm saying is say this. A lot of times, if you got a child that's giving you trouble, don't go add to the trouble. Because you're going to add to the trouble. If you got one that don't listen and you're going to go get him a car, just like with my boy, and that's why I can say what I'm saying, and I hope the lady really listen at this letter, and you need to put my thought up there where she can see it. What I'm saying is I'm telling her from experience what I went through. My son is 37 now. That's what I went through with. I gave him a car, even though he was hard-headed and didn't listen. I gave my son a car because down south, when you turn 15, 14, everybody's driving all over town. So, and I wanted him to do it like the other kids, even though I knew he was hard-headed. And that was a nightmare from hell. And we had to go and get the car and take the car away from him. So, no, I would not give him no car. I just wouldn't do it.
Anybody else have any input on that?
I agree with Delta. You don't reward bad behavior.
So, I agree with Delta too. You do so many times mothers make that mistake, parents make the mistake of rewarding children who are not doing well. Why reward them when they're already acting up? You know, I've seen that in my family. It's like, why did you buy him that $200 game when he's bringing home these? Well,
and
I told him I was going to give it to him. No, but you also asked him to make some good grades, and he didn't. So if he fell short on his promise, then you don't have to keep yours.
And then I can give you a perfect example. This happened, I know it happened about maybe, it happened so many years ago, but the case is still fresh in my mind, the accident. A lady... It was three kids. They all supposed to have been at the football game in Moss Point, where I live in Moss Point, Mississippi, because football is like, it's a ritual down here, something big. And they all supposed to have been at the football game. They drove themselves. Next thing you know, the mother gets a call and said, your son just got killed. Two of them got killed, and one of them was paralyzed for life. They had them snuck off in their car and went all the way to Mobile. And Mobile is like 30 miles from here, 30 miles. So when you got a child that won't listen is what I'm saying, just like these three that snuck off,
and they snuck off in a car. A car, to me, this is what I teach my grandson, and I want to constantly repeat this. It is a deadly weapon. A car is something, when you got a hard-headed child, why would you put a gun in his hand?
Uh-huh.
And when you got a hard-headed child, you putting a gun in his hand. And you know that gun is loaded, and then you got all them bullets in there, because you know what? You got all those innocent people going up and down that road.
True, especially that since they're not that experienced of a driver too.
And that is right. Correct, Sarah. You absolutely correct.
You don't want them out.
Right.
But as you said, Delta, you need to sit them down and say, okay, I know I agreed to give you a car, but here is why it's not going to happen. And then you lay out your case as to why it is that you're going back on that deal. You give them a certain time frame within which to get themselves up to speed, and if it happens, then we're going to revisit the topic. But in the meantime, it's off the table.
Right.
That's a good one too, Sarah.
I agree.
That's a good answer too.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true. And the number one key a share we take from this is no, he is not ready for a car. And because he's disobedient already, the rule is she shouldn't give him a car.
No
but
car,
that's her child.
No car for him.
No car.
No car, no games, no none of that stuff. No none of that going out, none of that. So,
you need to take all that
great
stuff
advice.
Out. You need to take all of that stuff. I know I did that with my older. He was acting up. I got the snacks, the TV, the games. Everything came out of that room. All he had up in there was just the bed, and that was it. That. Couldn't watch television. As a matter of fact, to this day, my oldest child, you go to his house, the TV is not on because all he got to watch TV was on the weekends. He got about 3 hours on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, pick a day, 3 hours, that's all you get in to watch. That's it.
But
he
did y'all
watch
know,
TV during the week.
And did you not know President Obama was growing up as a child? He said his mother did not even allow him to watch TV. He had to read books.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had to read books. And he said his mama told him every day, you got to be better than your in the other average white kid. And his mama, he said that. His mama told him that. He got to do better. And he said his mama drilled him day in and day out. He said his mama would get him up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning and stand him up and drill him. And he said the kids laughed and made fun of him. So that's what we really need to go back to a lot of our old ways. To a
certain
and parenting what I mean in parenting.
Yeah. His mother knew that if a white woman raising this child who's going to be seen as a black person, because if he's not in her presence, all people know he's a black boy. And she knows she has got to prepare him to be out here to take on what her people going to be throwing at him. So
yeah,
she has
right.
to get him prepared.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've come up to the last hour, and so we need to conclude. But I want to drop this little nugget. This is what I found out. My last visit in Detroit. I don't know the exact specifics, but what I've been told is that not only was the State Department trucking in water or having water shipped in to like the state offices, but also many of the faith-based churches were also having their water shipped in. So some of these, like Kansas says, ecclesiastical pimps were having water shipped in to them and their families.
And that's
knowing that the rest of the people in Flint were drinking lead water. So
now, what would Jesus do?
Well, I'm sure Jesus would have turned that water into good water. That's what he did. He turned water into wine.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Sarah. That's a good one. On that note, we'll go ahead on and conclude. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Mother Zola. Thank you, Mother Dunning, Mother Hattie, and Sarah. Thank you so much, King B, and all of the listeners.
And thanks, Sarah, for joining us again.
Yes, yes, we miss Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome,
for calling
ladies.
In and sharing the wisdom.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Always.
Indeed.
Namaste.
Indeed. Namaste.
Namaste.
Peace and good night.